Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, the work of all our groups, the work of this church, be a blessing and be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is my report back to you after our 6 weeks on our new journey, the new journey that our suitcases and direction signs indicate. And I want to take a minute to thank all of you for the spirit with which you participated in New Journey. I want to thank the group leaders. You fulfilled your role phenomenally. Thank you. To all of you who participated in the groups, sharing ideas and building relationships, thank you. To all who helped with the lunches, shopping and bringing food to share and setting up in the kitchen and helping to clean up after the meal, thank you. To our worship crew, including Lee Holmes and Marilee Magnuson and the worship committee, thank you for being flexible during these weeks. To the projection team working with me on the videos and the service that kept changing week after week, thank you, Frank and Bob. And to all of you who didn't complain, when I changed things so dramatically for 6 weeks, you have been supportive and encouraging, even though you were scared at the beginning about how in the world was this going to go. Thank you all. So let me get to the report. We started our work on the new journey by looking at the good old days, having some fun remembering the world of earlier days, what we remember to be a safer, maybe more trusting world, a time when Sundays were reserved for the church, when families expected to be at worship every Sunday and lots of Wednesdays, when Sunday school classes and youth groups were full, full, full. Our dollars went farther then, and families weren't two-career households they tend to be now, so there were more volunteers available for schools and churches. Remember those days? It sounds good looking back, doesn't it? But one of our groups commented, "We really wouldn't go back to those days. We like our conveniences with the dishwashers and the microwaves and the cell phones, air conditioning." The point for us to notice is this, that we tend to compare the church of today with the church we remember, the one we grew up with. And when we think about changes in the church, we tend to think we should just get back to those good old days, how the church was then. But those days, my friends, are gone. That's one of the things we've talked about, we've said over and over again. Those days are gone, and if we are to change as a church, it will have to be to something new, not to what we remember from before. And I have to say that again, because it is so important. If we are to change, it will have to be to something new, not to what we remember from before. So the second week, we started talking about what makes a good church. What are the good things about hope, for example? But what makes a good church? We looked at the things we consider sacred, vital, that is, to the life and existence of a church. And I asked each of the five groups to choose the three things they considered most important. And with those five groups, 5 times 3 is, 15, right? So we didn't come up with three, but here are some of the things you listed as really important. Here's what makes a good church: the love of God, friendliness, a spirit of compromise. That was my group right down here said that. Having a pastor. You all like that. Having children in church. The word of God revealed through preaching and through singing. Fellowship and relationships. The sacraments of the Lord's Supper and baptism. And outreach. I'm talking about us putting a screen back up there on that wall so the choir and I can see without having to turn around and crane our necks. Okay, so those are the things that might make a good church, at least from Hope's point of view. Here are some things you didn't say. You didn't say a church has to have property, a building, stained glass windows, a piano or organ, bulletins. You also didn't mention refrigerators and ovens or computers or copy machines. And here's something else you said, and I don't have a screen for this, but I want you to hear this because your groups said this over and over again. You said churches should be welcoming and friendly. They should be like a family, and they should accept people as they are. That is one of the most important, significant things to this church. You say it over and over again, so put it in your head. Churches should be welcoming and friendly, like a family. They should accept people as they are. Even if you disagree with each other, even if you aren't like each other, you should be accepting and friendly and loving. In the next few weeks, we went on to talk about what makes a healthy and thriving church community and how churches are like and also how they are not like families. We saw the image of a bridge connecting people on either side of a river, and we talked about how the church can be like a bridge, connecting people to one another and to the God who loves us. I noticed that all five groups reflected a hope that the church would be a balance of two kinds of things. So let's look at those two things. First, a church should have a meaningful faith. They should focus on prayer and worship, preaching and sacraments, outreach and mission. That's what a church should have. But you also said the church should also be relational, accepting of others. That's supposed to come up next. Does it come up? Oh, man. The church should also be relational, accepting of others, fun. It should have energy and a sense of humor with fellowship and friendship. The reality is that you, this congregation, wants church to be a positive place, to have a positive influence, to be a positive experience. You want the church to have a positive message. Is that right? Amen. Okay. Amen. 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 You want the church to be a bridge, you see, that does connect people to God and to each other. But I want to refer back to that bridge that David Loling talked about in one of the videos. That well-designed, well-built bridge in Honduras that withstood the tremendous winds and high waters of Hurricane Mitch, 1998, I think it was, but later stood useless because the storm changed the course of the river, which now then ran east of the bridge. So the bridge was no longer a bridge. We talked about how that bridge in some ways can become a symbol for the church, because we need to realize that like the river, the world and our communities have changed in significant ways, so the old ways of the church are no longer the right kind of bridge to connect people to the love of God, even though it worked for us, even though it worked in previous times. And it's unfortunate that we don't have all the answers to that yet, but we will ignore the reality of the changing times to the peril of this church and other churches and to the ministry of Jesus that we want to be about, the ways we want to be doing ministry. So we have to find new ways to connect people to God. In fact, that's the main reason I had us look each week at the clips of new worshiping communities, to see some of the many ways Presbyterians are using to connect with this changed and changing world, to reach people with the love of God in Christ Jesus. So we saw the Appalachian service with banjos. We saw the woman who had a chapel in the back of her motor home in an RV park. We saw the coffee house ministry and the sweaty sheep that does worship with people who run, who bike, who do exercise. All kinds of ways we can be doing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Let me find where I am. Okay, one of your groups said rather clearly as we talked about this, we need to get involved in the community. And another group observed, society changes faster than churches. And then they noted, the church is increasingly inward focused. It needs to incorporate more technology. It needs to be more flexible. It needs to adapt more to today's standards and styles. Just some things to think about. And in these last 2 weeks, I challenged you in your groups to look at the passion that drive Hope Highlands ministry. What are your passions? What are you best at? What are your resources? What are your ministry goals? Those are the concepts we were looking at the last 2 weeks. So I put together your answers. A little hard to see. One group said that you had been passionate in the past about a mission to Haiti when Hope Church funded several houses to be built there, about support for a Vietnamese boat family that was beginning life in the United States, and you all raised funds and provided ministry, about being involved in the building of the sanctuary, writing messages of love on the bare walls. Some of those messages are still to be found in this closet behind the cross. Other groups said that the people of this church are passionate about children, about the community of the church, about friendships. You all said that you know this church is good at supporting mission, at showing genuine care for people, at being a family, best friends for each other, and at having fun. I kept hearing about lip syncs and talent shows and fun events. Over and over, almost all of you said that you are the best at hospitality, at being welcoming, at accepting others, at appreciating others, at praying for others, at pastoral care, at accepting generational differences, at working together. Is that what you think you are? Yes. One group said it this way: Hope is best at welcoming people no matter who they are. And I love what another group said. It sounds like we are really good at love. So I picked some pictures I thought would show that. It sounds like we are really good at love. One group did add this comment, something to think about. We don't always do a great job of truly hearing others, and we can't help others if we don't listen to them. But among the talents and expertise present in the church, your groups listed these: music, drama, organizational skills, needle crafts, medical skills, teachers, cooks, photographers, and even pastors. I like how they put that last. So, wow, I mean, I think that's not a complete list. But think what God might do with all that talent and all that experience in one church. You have other resources, things that none of the groups mentioned, and I decided I would lift them up and point them out. I don't want you to forget some of these things. Did you know that the church here on South Belcher Road used to have a weekday preschool? And that means that you have three classrooms that at least once met the codes for childcare facilities. In fact, in all those rooms, there are child-sized bathrooms, and I suspect this church could open a preschool again or make the space available to another preschool if your mission included it. That's something to think about because you have that resource. You also have a pretty fine kitchen, and I've worked in about 15 or 20 churches, and I'm telling you, yours is among the best. You already use it to prepare and serve great meals. It is a great resource. But I was surprised about another resource you didn't mention, and that is that you have money. Thanks to the merger and the sale of Highlands property, you have money that is going to help with missions. Because in setting up the Highland funds, I think there are five Highland funds that you have set up now. The first fund is 10% off the top that will go for mission. And the next set is to replace that roof and do a lot of things that need to be done here around the building to bring it back up to the condition you want it to be in. You've got money, thanks to the merger with Highland, that will help with mission and facility needs and staff support. And that's a huge deal as you move forward. So let me move on now to last week, week six, when I had you talking about mission and ministry. First of all, in order to plan your mission, you need to know your community. In this case, South Belcher Road, Largo, Clearwater. You need to know your church. We might need to do some additional study on the community, but in your initial description of the community, you used these kinds of words and these terms. You said you're part of a community of churches. Mm-hmm. There are four or five churches right here in this area. You are part of a transient and tourist community. It is eclectic, one group said, and overcrowded. Now, my husband has a PhD, so I asked him what eclectic meant. It means there are lots of things that combine together. It's also a mature community, so there are lots of retirement people and opportunities here. It is a diverse community, and that group that said that noted especially that it includes both poverty and wealth. So they weren't thinking about colors and races and languages, although that's true as well, but poverty and wealth. There are many veterans, you pointed out. There are many, many, many young families in this community. One group used some interesting terms. They said the community was unknown, disconnected, and misunderstood. I really wasn't sure what they meant by that. Is the community made up of people who are unknown, disconnected, and misunderstood? Or are they just unknown, disconnected, and misunderstood by us here in the church? That's an interesting thing to wonder about, and maybe to take ourselves to task about. What do we really know about our community? Anyway, here's what you have said the church might be doing in ministry, things you might want the church and its leadership to consider as you move forward in serving Jesus Christ. Most of the groups suggested that the church should be offering more volunteer opportunities, and you named RCS, Paint Your Heart Out, Grace House, Feeding the Homeless, and maybe helping our sister church Peace Memorial with its ministry. It feeds the homeless every Thursday night and some other nights of the week, and they also serve as a cold night shelter. So any time in the winter the temperature drops below 40, they open their doors, and they house between 100 and 150, I think it is, homeless people in their facility. You talked about Clothes to Kids, Habitat for Humanity, helping out at schools, maybe tutoring at Belcher Elementary, which is so close, offering classes for the community, and you suggested some things like parenting, finance management, how to care for aging family members. And then you said, we want to help out locally more than sending money far away. And then you also said, we want to be involved with mission, not just giving funds. I've heard that over and over again. In fact, note, several groups lifted up having adult mission trips or adult mission projects that would involve you, that would get your bodies and hearts and minds involved with needs in the community. So one group really tickled me. Their note said, you could maybe attract people by offering a park and community garden here on the property. They mentioned having a trail with biblical messages and upbeat messages, a gazebo, places to sit and meditate, places for families to have picnics. I got really interested in that and started thinking about it, so I came over here and took some pictures. Here's where a community garden might go. Lots of space out there and lots of sunlight in front of the sanctuary. You have a playground that if families came over here, they might want to use. And then you have this shaded area for benches or tables or sitting places. And then the memorial garden might be one of the places for folks to stop and meditate. Well, my friends, that's my report about 6 weeks of important work that you all did in your groups. And along with giving us these ideas, you built relationships and trust and new friendships in your meetings. I am willing to make copies of this report available to folks if you would like to take it home and read it. And my fear, working on this hours and hours and hours, is that this would be a boring report. But maybe it rings true to what your groups were saying and what you experience. So I want to add a couple more things. Obviously, preachers, you know how we are. First, I want to say that on April the 21st, which is a Saturday from 9 to 12, we are going to have a Saturday morning retreat to follow up on all of this information. I've asked the session to come. I've asked the leaders of the groups to come. I'll be asking the deacons to consider coming. Each group was invited to name a representative to come, but I'm going to make it an open invitation to anyone who's in this church. If you want to come and be part of this planning retreat on April 21st, please come. We'll meet at the church, and anyone who wants to participate can do it. Second, I guess I already said this, but I showed you the video on how wolves can change rivers to give an example of how one well-chosen change can affect so much. Isn't it amazing how placing, I think it turned out to be 31 wolves over 3 years in Yellowstone Park has resulted in a transformed environment. So I wonder, what might happen here at 1698 South Belcher Road if Hope Highland Church responds to God's call by choosing one or two or three significant changes to make, ministries to support, ways to engage in ministry together? And if you let those choices grow out of your passion, your great love, your sense of God's call. Third, I wanted to say that you, over the past months that I've been here, and especially through these groups, have talked about your very best trait as a church being your ability to welcome others, to accept them as they are, to be a family to all. What I want to say to you, and will say on April 21st, is if that's how you see the strength of this church, then how can you use that trait to help you reach out to the people of this community, to focus your strength in ministry as you expand who you are. How could you keep that idea, that notion of your strength in front of you to see how it might spin out to strengthen who you are across the board? Something to think about. Finally, I will address this other issue that I like to call this church Hope Highland. And by doing that, I am referring to this officially merged church made out of the old Hope and Highland Presbyterian churches. And by calling you Hope Highland, I am referring to the strengths and assets and histories of both churches, the values and passions of both parts of your heritage. By speaking of Hope Highland, I intend to lift up for you the reminder that though you did not take a brand new name, I got so excited I lost my place. Though you did not take a brand new name, nevertheless, you are not the same Hope Presbyterian Church you were before Highland came. You are not who you were. You are different. Your mission needs to be different. You need to carve it out together. And I think you need to remind yourself of that in conscious, deliberate ways over and over again. And I will do it as long as I'm here. So if you want me to leave, I'll leave. But the reality is that God has given you a new moment, has called you on a new journey that grows out of being both Hope and Highland. So you need to remind yourself of that. You need to find ways to signal that to the community around you, but also to yourselves as a church. So maybe you should paint the church a different color when you repaint this roof. I don't think you'll go with red, but you know, you could think about that. And maybe you really should consider a different name, maybe some new term for Hope, like New Hope, or Hope Highland, or High Hope, or the Church of New Beginnings, the Church of Second Chances, the Church of the Resurrection. I don't know where you'd go with all that. Do you remember we did a video early on, I think it was week two, from New Jersey, from my friend Amy Lincoln, who described her church, which is made out of the merger of three different churches and the things they did. What she didn't tell you about was how they were trying to decide what to name their new church, their church merged. And she said they invited everybody to give them names, and they just made lists of possible names, and some of them were just really bizarre. And she said there were some she thought, oh, please don't choose that. And they started voting, and so they let everybody have five votes, and they narrowed the group down, and they finally ended up with something that's a little bit exciting to me. Highland, I think it's Highlands Presbyterian Church. And I said, how did you choose that? Is it in a community called Highlands, or is it in a town or a whatever? She said, no, it's on a kind of a rise on the road. So somebody had suggested Highlands, and that was their name. But the point to remember, to be vividly aware of, is that you would not be who and what you are now without Highland. You are not the old Hope Presbyterian Church, even though that's your name, and you're at the same address and in the same sanctuary, and not even a very different style of worship so far. So you need to find a way to be a new Hope on a new journey, being a blessing for the world around you, like Abram, who was sent to leave his father's home, the place he had always known, and go to the land that God showed him. So with all of that before us, I want to let David Lolang have the last word for us in the video from Engage. Let's see if we can do that.
You know, as I've treated my diabetes, what I've learned is that I need to embrace a new lifestyle, a new way of living. I can't just go on a crash diet where I'll end up running to Krispy Kreme again. In the same way, the church needs to change the way it does things. We can't just start another program, a program of evangelism and outreach. We can't just have an evangelism strategy. What we really need to have is a blessing strategy. We need to live into God's words to Abram in Genesis 12, where God says, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and you will be a blessing, and all nations will be blessed by you. Now, we don't need another evangelism strategy. What we need is a blessing strategy. I love the story that Reggie McNeil tells. He was at a conference, and at the end of the conference, he wanted to give them something practical to do. So he told them, I want you to go out, and each one of you, I want you to bless three people. One of the gentlemen that was there wrote him and said, Reggie, I put this into practice. I went to my local coffee shop that I always go to, and I went up to the counter, and I talked to the barista, and I said, how can I bless you today? How can I pray for you? She took the coffee mug and pulled it back and said, are you one of those blessing people? Wouldn't that be fantastic if all around town people knew us, people knew you as one of those blessing people?
Let us pray.